Since Yawm al-Jumu'ah we are discussing the various branches of deen, we will now terminate with the fifth branch of deen, which is akhlaq. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu al-khulu fi silmi kaffa, or that, O people of Iman, enter into the deen of Islam, into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total submission. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, for verily he is your open enemy. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that noble character dissolves sin just as salt dissolves ice, and evil character destroys worship just as vinegar destroys honey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved to me and the one closest to me in the hereafter will be the one whose character is good, and the one most disliked by me and the most furthest away from me in the hereafter will be the one whose character is evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, he who is deprived of softness has been deprived of all goodness. So from here we understand how important it is to have good character. On one occasion, some Yahud, they came and they greeted Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how did they greet? They were cunning people. So instead of saying assalamu alaikum, they said assalamu alaikum, which means death be upon you. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was a very intelligent young girl at that time as well. So immediately she picked it up. So she heard that these people are not making salam, they're saying death be upon you. So she responded to them and she said, wa alaikum assalam wal la'na, that may death be upon you people as well, and may the curse of Allah Ta'ala be upon you. They are cursing Nabi alayhi salam, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mahlan ya Aisha, mahlan, hold it, O Aisha, take it easy. Inna Allah yuhibbu ar-rifqa fil amri kulli, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves softness in all matters. That don't respond in this manner. So she said, ya Rasulullah, didn't you hear what they said? Nabi alayhi salam said, I also heard what they said, but I have also responded to them. I said wa alaykum as-salam, and I had terminated it there. It is mentioned Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he heard that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been sent as a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called his brother and he said, irkab ila hadha al-wadi fasma' min qawli, that go to this valley, listen to what this man is to say, let's listen to his message. So the brother goes to listen to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. After listening to the message, he returns, and what does he say? Ra'aytuhu ya'muru bi makarimil akhlaq, that all I see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is commanding that have good akhlaq. He didn't make a distinction between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. That this good akhlaq must be shown to a believer also. It must be shown to a non-believer also. Nabi alayhi salam himself, practically he displayed this. Therefore it is mentioned in the hadith, kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsan al-nas, from amongst people, the best was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa ajwada an-nas, when it came to generosity, when it came to sakhawat, there was no one more generous than Nabi alayhi salam. So much so that in the vocabulary of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the word no never existed in the vocabulary of Nabi alayhi salam. One poet, he beautifully explained this. He said, law la tashahuduhu lakana la'uhu na'amu. Had it not been the word la, we have to say it in tashahud when we're performing salah. We all say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that I bear witness there is no deity except Allah. So he said, had this word la not been in tashahud, the la of Nabi alayhi salam would only have been na'am, would have been yes, only yes in the vocabulary of Nabi alayhi salam. And there are many such incidents in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. Evil characteristics which have to be eradicated are ujub, vanity, takabbur, pride, carrying tales, malice, jealousy, excessive and uncontrollable anger, desiring evil for someone, thinking evil of someone, love of the world, habit of engaging in useless and impermissible speech, backbiting, lies, stinginess, show and ostentation, excess lust, evil glancing, and love for those prohibited. So these are the things a person has to cleanse himself from. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, certainly is the one who has purified his nafs. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and unsuccessful is the one who has soiled his nafs with evils and vices. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith as well, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُدْغَى, listen, that verily in the body there's a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, if this piece of flesh is correct, the entire body is correct. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, and if this piece of flesh is corrupt, entire body of a person is corrupt. And then Nabi alayhi salam explained, what is this? Ala wahi al qalb, this is the heart of a person. If a person does not realize that he is sick, he will never take treatment. After realizing one's illness, one needs to remedy the sickness. It is the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this world to utilize means. Just as a physically ill person needs to go to a doctor for treatment, a spiritually ill person also needs to proceed to a spiritual doctor for treatment. And that is why we are here in the Khanqah. We come to our Mashayikh. These are our spiritual doctors, and they are the ones that will prescribe our remedy. Actually, there is a greater need for a spiritual doctor for the following reason. Number one, physical illnesses are easily discerned, whereas spiritual illnesses are hidden and not recognized. A person many a times he thinks that I got ikhlas, I got sincerity. But behind that ikhlas and that sincerity, there is pride that is hidden over there. We won't be able to pick it up. A person many a times he thinks I am sincere, but little does he realize that there is no sincerity at all. So we'll have to come to the spiritual doctors, they will be able to tell us that there is no sincerity or there's pride that is hidden over here. Number two, it is not compulsory to take treatment for physical illness. A person is physically ill, his arteries are blocked. To take treatment for that is only sunnah. If a person does not take the treatment, he won't be held accountable in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So it is not compulsory to take treatment for physical illnesses, but permissible. However, it is compulsory to take treatment for spiritual illnesses and rid oneself of these ailments. That it is farz, it is compulsory. A person, he treats his spiritual illnesses. Number three, as long as a person has a physical illness, he is rewarded by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Every moment he's going through fever, he's going through pain, his status in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is being raised all the time. Spiritual illnesses cause a person to be in the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala at all times. A person has got pride, a person has got anger, so here he's in the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. A person is not controlling his eyes. Every moment the lanat and the curse of Allah Ta'ala is showered upon such a person. Number four, physical illnesses cause a person to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since they remind one of death. The moment a person is sick, he is now reaching old age, immediately he starts changing his life also. That now I'm ill, I don't know when I'm going to go towards my qabr. So here this brings a person closer to Allah. Spiritual illnesses causes a person to become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation. A man that got pride, that here he is distant from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And amongst people, he is a proud person, but little does he realize that people don't like such a person and they hate such a person. Number five, physical illnesses terminate with death, but the harmful effects of spiritual illnesses remain in the year after. This our Hazrat beautifully explains, that your physical illness, the moment a person leaves the world, it's end. There's no more pain any longer. But a person, for his spiritual illnesses, the problem only starts when a person leaves the world. And that remains. By remaining in the company of a spiritual guide, many benefits will be derived. Few are which, number one, the qualities in the shaykh will gradually come into one. That this is after a long period of time, when one remains in the company of the shaykh, you'll find that those good qualities that the shaykh have, this is now transferred into the murid. Number two, a person will become aware of his faults. Number three, the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be created in the heart. That love that the shaykh, that burning love of Allah ta'ala that he has, this will now be transferred into the murid. Number four, a person will be cured by the spiritual treatments as there is blessings in their teachings. But on condition we have to follow the nuskha, what they have prescribed for us, we will have to act upon this. If a person, he does not follow the prescription of the shaykh, he is not going to be remedied. Hazrat gives a beautiful example. He said a certain person, he was ill. She's a sugar patient, so they took him to a hospital. So here he was being monitored all the time in hospital. But in spite of all the treatment and being monitored, in spite of this, they found that his sugar was not coming down. Sugar is going higher and higher, remaining high all the time. Finally, the nurses, what did they find? That under his pillow, he had chocolate wrappers there. So when they were gone under the blanket, he's eating chocolates. So here a person will have to follow the prescription of the shaykh, then only will a person be remedied. Number five, a person will attain their du'as. This is the greatest thing. We heard this yesterday also, that how great are the du'as of our mashayikh. Miracles happen with the du'as of our mashayikh. Together with effort, one should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for purification of one's nafs. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, which we discussed yesterday also, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Had it not been the grace of Allah, the mercy of Allah, none of you, your tazkiyah would have been made. None of you would have been purified. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah ta'ala purifies whomsoever He wishes. There is no limit to one's reformation. No person can ever say that I have been totally reformed now. I am now completely changed, as Mawlana mentioned now also. Even a great sheikh, right till the end of his life, he has to worry about his Islam. A person has to continue reforming himself till death. The moment a person is left, he will begin slipping. As it gives a beautiful example of this, he says a person has a ball. So a person, he throws this ball up into the sky. So with what force you threw that ball, that is how high that ball is going to go. But the moment it reaches climax, maximum, now what happens? Immediately it starts falling. So we, the moment we become lax, we think that now I have reached somewhere now. So immediately now a person starts dropping. May Allah Ta'ala purify our hearts from evil characteristics, imbue it with beautiful qualities, and grant us His love and connection. Ameen.